day by day. He lifts me up when I'm so satisfied as I walk along the way. I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He lifts me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. Oh yes, I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He lifts me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. Oh, I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He lifts me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He lifts me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He lifts me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. Keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He lifts me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He lifts me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. Oh yes, I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. Keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. I praise him, I praise him, I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He lifts me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. I praise his holy name. He keeps me day by day. He keeps me up, keeps my soul satisfied as I walk along the way. Glory. the Lord. Praise, praise,
praise
the Lord. Let the people of the Lord praise His name. Give Him the glory. Ever tell the story. Lift up our hearts and praise the Lord. Praise, praise, praise. Praise the Lord. Let the people of the Lord praise His name.
where he's brought us to. For this wonderful people. For this vision that we have. You know, we know the verse that it's paraphrased actually, but God dwells in the praises of his people. He inhabits in Israel. We are spiritual Israel today. This is our Israel. This is our holy mountain we get to come to lift up the Most High God, to worship him who is worthy of all praise. No one deserves the praise like our God. No one. There's nothing in this world that's worth anything besides our God. If I spent every day of my life from the time I was born until the time I die and praised him every moment, he would still not receive enough praise. Our God is worthy of all praise. In this world where sin abounds, where it comes in like a flood, what's the Bible say? He's going to raise up a standard against it. We're a part of that standard. It's not about a dress code, but it's about a feeling of righteousness. It's about his spirit in the earth, because that's what it needs to be. Man made that mistake many years ago by being disobedient and bringing forth sin. But God had a plan to send his only son to die, to give us that opportunity to reconcile us back to him. And I appreciate that. And I thank God for being that way, for having that foreknowledge to know what he needed to do for us. For me, one day to look down and say, I'm going to give that boy a chance. No matter what his genealogy was, no matter what he's made of, I'm going to give him an opportunity, Brother Daniels. I'm going to give him opportunity. I'm going to send Brother Daniels in the buckle. When he's a wayward son, when he's got funky yellow hair, I'm going to still show him I love him. What a mighty God we serve. What a merciful God we serve. You know, so many times I can condemn myself so much for my life, for things that I've made mistakes in the past, and think, how can God ever love me? But my God loves me. He loves me. He loves me anyway. He loves me in spite of myself. He loves me more than ever I could love him. And so that's my duty, to ever praise him and thank him. And I was thinking down there, dancing a little bit, you know, David danced mightily before God with all his heart. David made so many mistakes. David did some horrible things. But what did God say? That David was a man after his own heart. Why? Because David didn't lose sight of who God was. He knew his frailties. He made mistakes, but he knew who God was. And he knew to put his hand in the master's hand. And as long as he would do that, he would come out. That's why that time when he had made the mistake with numbering the people, and they came to him and said, okay, here's your three choices. You can lose to your enemies and this can happen, or God will be against you. And he was like, you know what? I would rather it be God, because God's merciful. I know too much about man. I know, no. I don't want nothing to do with that. Let me fall in the mighty hands of God. That's what I want to do today. No matter what, you know, I want to come before him as a living sacrifice. What does that mean for me? That means, God, each and every day, I want to allow that spirit that's within me, that spirit that Brother Smith talks about. It's not so much I don't have to worry all the time about, you know, killing the old man, but hey, let me just give a little life to that spirit. Let me do something in love for that Holy Ghost. Let me think about, what does God want today? What can I do to bring a smile on my God's face? What can I do to lift him up again? What can I do to praise his mighty name? That's what I want to concentrate on. There's enough negativity in this world. There's enough sin and things that are going on that would make all of us fall down in shame. But thank God we have a heavenly Father that's far above that. He knows no sin. There's no darkness in him. There's not even the tiniest bit of sin in heaven. Well, that's where I want to get to, don't you? You know, I can't within myself make myself perfect. I can't deem it in my heart, I'm going to be strong and I'm going to make it, Brother McGown. Bless God. I can't do that. Oh, I might in my spirit sometimes. I might say, well, I'll just pull my, I don't have many pairs of boots, but I might pull my proverbial bootstraps up and say, well, I'm going to take on the world now. And then I'll end up right back on my face. Because it's not for me to do. If I can just yield, if I can just humble myself down and fall on the rock and be broken, then God God will take care of the rest. God will be there. I don't have to worry about, you know, the greasy grace that's preached in religion. I understand a little bit more today about His true grace, about His true love, His mercy. God didn't call us to fail. If we're in this church, if you're hearing my voice, God didn't call us to fail. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is not going to lead us astray. He is not going to lead us to the wolves. He's trying to lead us home. And that's what I want to do. I want to submit my life. I want to submit my life to Him and say, Lord, let me be your sheep. Let me get that goat nature out and say, no more buts, Lord. No more buts. Just yes. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Not because I've got a rule book in front of me, but because I love you. Because you've done so much for me. Because you laid your life down for me, Jesus. So what do I have to do but give my life back to Him? So I just wanted to get up tonight and say, I appreciate being able to come here on Wonderful Wednesday and see my wonderful brothers and sisters and lift up the name of Christ and to feel this freedom in the Spirit of the Lord. There is liberty. We can come here and we can walk the aisles. And we don't have to fear reproach. We don't have to fear people talking about us. There's not going to be ushers coming up here and escort me out. Why? Because God has liberty here. There's freedom. There's love. There's mercy. If there's not in this building, then I'm in the wrong building. If God isn't in here, then I'm going to go out there and find Him. Because there's nothing else here. There's nothing else that's worth looking at. I got a chance to, God gave me that opportunity to sell all I had, to take all my inheritance and go out and spend it on riotous living. Well, I came back broke with a bad hairdo and, I got a little bit of it still, leave me alone. Yeah, and some earrings in there. Boy, I was ready to go. Had to move in back in with my parents. Wow, I conquered the world. Well, I didn't have anything. But you know what I did have? God didn't take His wonderful Holy Ghost from my life. And it was ever there whenever I was doing what I thought, what I wanted to do. It was there talking to my heart. Son, just come back home. Just come back home. Just, my arms are open. Just come back. And thank God, one day that stubborn boy finally said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. If you'll have me, I'll do it. And I have not regretted a day since. This is a wonderful life. It's the only life worth living. It's when I let the world get back in there. And when I start getting my focus off of Him, and when I quit thinking about how much He's done for me, and I start looking down, and I start concentrating on the dirt of the earth, because everything here, we know this, is temporal. And what's temporal mean? It means it's going to pass away. Oh, this pew right here looks sturdy. It's been here for years. One day this is going to deteriorate and be nothing. I don't want to invest in nothing. I have enough intelligence to know I want to put my treasures in heaven, where it says moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Who allows those thieves in? I do. I open the door back up. I open the window back up and say, come on in. Take my victory. Take my relationship with God. Because I'm obviously not counting it worthy enough. I'm not giving my relationship with Him the forefront. Well, that's not what I want to do today. I want to lock those doors. I want to say, no, while I'm here, while I'm trying to store up there, while I'm here, I'm going to protect what is most important, and that's my relationship with my God. And I appreciate that so much. And I just wanted to get up tonight. I didn't have any of this on my mind. But I thank God. I thank God He's got this down in my heart. I appreciate Him so much. I was just thinking the other day. And it's not for a fact of, there's no bragging to it. There's nothing, because to ever have said, having said you left is a mark and a scar on your life. But I'm close to coming, having been back 10 years. Now what is that for me? That's a landmark in the road. That's somewhere I can look back to and say, I've came this far. I'm not throwing all that away. There's too much to go forward to. I've came too far to look back. This is the body of Christ. This is His message in the earth today. And I'm going on.
service. He walks through the door, falls on his knees, and says, "Father, I want to come home." Man, Brother Philip, I've been rejoicing with you, brother. Keep working on it. But I thought tonight, as the song was going forward, Scripture says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." The Spirit is saying to the church, "Did you hear the power of praise tonight?" Brother Philip was praising God tonight, wasn't he? Plus, David said, "This is a commandment; it's not a suggestion." That every living creature, everything that hath breath, you need to praise the Lord. Many of you know Brother Hector De La Rosa. He was sharing his testimony with me, how he got saved there in a little town in Texas. He had to walk to work, about 5-10 miles, didn't have a car. And he had just gotten saved. He was really rejoicing. Said he used to get to church early and practice preaching to the pews. He'd hear a car pull up on the parking lot and he'd quit and run sit down. So one morning, he was on his way to work, and he saw a field of cows just grazing. He thought he'd talk to them. Hey, cows, did you know God made you? You ought to praise him. He just continued to walk. He said, one long till one cow let out a big moo. So a cow can rejoice and praise God tonight. Man, I praise God tonight. As I came into service tonight, heard the songs, you know, your mind, it should begin to roll. Begin to thank God. Man, this has been a wonderful day. You brought me out to church tonight. And this is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. If it wasn't for the Lord, I could be out of here praising Budweiser somewhere, Brother Al. You know what I mean? Praising a good cold beer, praising the Razorbacks. But I've been called into the church of the living God to praise the living God tonight. So I praise him tonight for bringing me here, letting me see this and feel this. Brought me here and I didn't know where I was. Oh, but I found an oasis. I found the fountain of living waters. They allowed me to drink. I changed my brand of liquor from Southern Comfort. But I found another comfort. I praise God. Yes, I praise God. I thought about the scripture in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas was preaching. They said, "Hey, boys, city ordinance. Can't be preaching on these street corners." They did it anyway. So they locked him up in jail. Now there's power in praise. They said, along about midnight, they didn't have the mullet grubs. They wasn't deciding, "I'm going to call my lawyer. You just wait. Hold on. Just wait. I'm going to call my lawyer." He said, "They begin to pray." They begin to praise. If something happened to the jail and the jailer, that's power in praise tonight. Let's continue in praise. Our sister that was here Sunday, she talked about some things get resolved by prayer. And then along with fasting, that made an impact on me. Start making some down payments. I've been praying a lot. But you know the old man, he don't like you to make a down payment. Make a down payment with a fast. I got some things I'd like for the Lord to do for me. So I've learned that I'm going to make a down payment and do some fasting. But I love praising God tonight. I want to give this opportunity that I have to praise God when I get a chance to say something about the Lord. So I appreciate his love and mercy toward me. He didn't have to let me see this. Could have left me out there wondering, where would I be? So I praise God tonight. Let's take prayer requests tonight. Anybody got a special need on your heart tonight? Got a note here on Sister Devin, Brother Steve, Wallace. Rush her to the emergency room last night.
Brother.
She really needs our prayers.
Sister Abraham's got, what was it, Brother Talia? Water leak. Thank you. Sister Beeley, Sister, let me get the right one here. Brother, Georgia, Macon, Georgia. Yeah, Brother Beeley's wife has got cancer. I haven't heard how serious it is. They've been requesting prayer for her for a while. Now, in the campground, he thanked everyone for their prayers, but he didn't elaborate. So it doesn't sound like it's really critical or anything, but I'm sure they appreciate our prayers. And if I had cancer, it'd be critical. It'd be serious enough for me. Let's remember Brother Weininger, too. Taking his treatments. Let's pray that they work. Yes, Brother Adams. Remember also Sister Rhodes in the Republic passed away yesterday. Sister Rhodes, she's 86, I believe. They moved down there from Kankakee a few years ago. Sister Terry Durham was their granddaughter, and she's really all they had. And they've been in a nursing home, and she had cancer. Passed away, and Brother Rhodes was right there in the room with him, but they're taking the body back to Kankakee tomorrow, and they'll have a funeral viewing Friday and a funeral 11 o'clock Saturday morning. Brother Durham will be part of it. So but pray for Sister Terry and Brother Rhodes. You know, it's hard to lose your wife. About 50, 60 years, and then they're good people. I wish you could have met them.
Sheltered in the arms of God tonight, to know that God will meet our needs if we call upon Him. God will come to us and help us in our darkest hours. Said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We serve a loving and compassionate God tonight. Let's reach out to Him. Let your needs be made known unto the God we serve tonight. He's able to heal His children tonight of cancer. He's able to bring joy to homes where there's sorrow. Oh, yes. Praise our God tonight. That's power in praise tonight. That's power in salvation tonight. That's power in the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, yes, what a wonderful Savior we serve tonight. No one else could do this. Like the Lord is doing this. Like the Lord has helped us tonight. Oh, yes, ever mindful of His children tonight. For the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose heart is perfect and committed toward Him. We love Him tonight, dear Lord. We thank You for all that You've done. And yet there's more to come. For I have not seen, You have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him and walk upright before Him. We give You praise tonight, dear Lord. Bless our service tonight. The needs of Your people that come up before You. No burden too heavy for You tonight. No condition too hard for God tonight. We give You praise. Wonderful Jesus.
Praise God. This tonight will be a missionary offering. Brother Joel, Brother Leah Cyprian's son, wants to come to our youth meeting. And his sister Jennifer wants to come too. I told them we'd try to help them with their tickets. Brother Joel, I think, be able to help a little bit on his, but I told him, I said, unless we can, I can't promise you we can help Jennifer get here. It costs like $600 a ticket, you know. So, but anyway, give what you can. Let's see if we can help some of those precious youth. And this is all new, and they want to be in these youth meetings so bad. They want to have a youth meeting in the Dominican Republic. I don't know how many of you youth would like to go over there, but we may do that here before too long. I'm thankful and glad for the goodness of God, and I'm looking forward to the youth meeting coming up, expecting God to do something great for the youth in the body of Christ. And I'm just thinking here tonight, I've been thinking a little bit about principles. You know, Brother Lineker, he made a statement several years ago. He said, "Brethren, if we don't get the principles right," he said, "doctrine, for us to have a restored church, doctrines are very important, but if we don't get principles right, we'll never get the doctrine." And I believe that. There's a scripture, I think principles are only mentioned a couple times in the New Testament, but there's a scripture in, it's in Romans, I believe. No, it is in Hebrews. 5. In 6, but I want to read the one in 5. Yes, that's it. 12th chapter. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." said, what did Isaiah say? He said, "Who shall I teach knowledge? Who will I give understanding?" And then he said, "He that is drawn from the breast," or weaned from the milk. Can't get that scripture in my mind exactly, but milk represents the Word of God, but for us to get to full age, Paul said, we need strong meat. Get to where we get enough teeth that we can chew and digest something stronger than just milk. You don't need any teeth to get milk down. Little babies can get milk down without any teeth. They start out that way, but then when they finally start growing teeth where they can chew something more solid, that makes them grow. As they begin to develop as babies, they finally reach a place where it's going to take more than milk to sustain them. And we're that way spiritually. I wanted to read Thayer's definition of a principle, but the Bible definition. It says, "Any first thing from which the others belonging to some series of composite whole take their rise, an element, first principle." So, in other words, you have to build your walk in God on principles. There are certain principles. Someone said, principles never change. Righteous principles never change. And we, as ministers in the body of Christ, have developed customs and traditions, traditional teachings and customs, rules, you might say, that are the purpose of them is to establish a principle, a good principle. There's principle or certain principles of righteous living, righteous, our walk with God in righteousness. And if we can get righteous principles established in our life, there's a lot of righteous principles that the world has that they've borrowed from God. There's just certain things you learn, nature itself will teach you that there's certain principles you can't get by with. There's a just like growing a plant. You learn there's a principle that you've got to have that in soil that's got nutrients in it, and then it's got to have water. And the principle for to get a plant to grow is it's got to have some form of nutrition, and it's got to have water. And you can't grow anything without it. You've got to follow certain principles of whatever you're doing. And even there's been a lot of things planted in this nation of America that are good, righteous principles, and people find a measure of success. But there is no good thing. All good things come from God. How many of you knows that? Everything good, God, it came from God. And if it's bad, well, it was something God, something that was good that God had, man corrupted it some way. If you could find the right balance in things, you could get it back to being good again. But I was thinking of to get first, like Thayer said, that it's the first. These are first things. The principal thing is something that's first that you've got to do to build something on. And so I was thinking, what's the first principle that you've got to have? You got to know. Well, we all know it's faith. Faith is a principle. There's a principle of having faith. The Bible said you must first believe that God is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to believe, and you have to, if you keep your faith high, if you'll keep the principle of faith, of believing, God is, and He's a rewarder. If I'll diligently seek God in every situation I'm in, I'll gain a reward out of it. God will bless me. God will help me in this situation. And I'll get the reward of the benefit of seeking God and maintaining a certain faith that God's going to help me with this. If it's something I don't know. I was telling Brother Boyd on the way to church tonight, I was telling him how, well, we got to talking. What got us started was, you know, my van has a dual air conditioner control, thermostat control. You can set the passenger's temperature and you can set the driver's temperature. And one of those temperatures was set on 60. And I just shook my head, you know, and ran it back up to 72. And I told Brother Mark, I said, women don't understand thermostats. It doesn't make sense to them. You know, I've told Ann for 41 years now that you can't turn that down like that. She said, well, then why? She said, you can too, because I'll show you can. I said, well, it won't. That's not going to make it get cold any quicker. And I said, in fact, it'll probably freeze up and quit cooling. But if she's cold, and she can run up one up to 85, she'll run it up. She wants it to hurry up and get warm. I said, it ain't going to get any warmer. Once it kicks on, it's doing all it can do. The heaters, the fire's lit and the fan's blowing, and it's doing all it can do. And it'll just have to climb temperature however long it takes it to do it. Well, I've been saying that for years. I finally quit because I know it doesn't compute some way. Then I was telling Brother Mark how I one time explained to Sister Smith how a gasoline combustible engine worked. you know, I went through all the details of how, you know, I told her what an exhaust valve done, and how I told her how gas gets into each cylinder, and how that there has to be oxygen in there. The intake valve's got to open, and there's got to be oxygen get in there with that gas. And when the your spark plug, I said that spark plug puts out a little spark like that, it, real fast, and it's in time. Each one of those eight spark plugs, or six, or how many there is, depending on how many cylinders you get. They're timed. That's what your timing is, and it runs on it. And so those spark plugs time when the gas shoots in there at the same time the spark sparks, and the oxygen from the intake valve is got in there, boom, an explosion takes place, and it drives the piston back up, and it drives it back down in some other cylinders to get them ready for another explosion. And that's what keeps that thing going and gets the engine turning. And of course the exhaust gas valve opens, and it lets the exhaust after the explosion go out the tailpipe through that exhaust. And I was explaining, I told her, I said, sit down here, I want you to understand how this engine works. I said, you need to know, you know, because I don't know, she was wanting to put gas in the water in the gas tank or something, but I don't remember what it was. But I was telling her, I said, let me explain to you how this works. It'll help you in life. So not long ago, we was doing something. We were outside, and I don't remember what it was. She was telling me about the car. And I thought, how could she? I don't even remember now what it was, but I thought, how could she make a statement like that? I've told her how the engine runs, works. And so I said, honey, do you remember me telling you how gasoline combustible engine operates? And she just kept walking. She was watering her flowers and just kept walking. She said, yeah. And I said, no, wait a minute. I said, do you remember me telling you that? She looked back and she said, I remember all of it that I want to remember. And I said, in other words, you don't remember and you don't care. She said something like that. And she walked on. So, I don't know what that's got to do with principles. I can't remember how I got off on that. I had a point I wanted to make. Yeah, I was, the principle behind how, what, anything that is, that works, that's successful, that like an engine that runs, there's principles that makes it run. There's principles that you and I operate on. And so, but there is a principle of faith. Called them what? Laws, yeah. Yeah, law of gravity. They're principles that nature. There are certain principles of nature that it's like how you have water. There's a principle of H2O. You got to have two parts of hydrogen, one part of oxygen for water to be formed. Well, in the kingdom of God, there's righteous principles that God wants us to get. He wants us to get them in our lives. And then there's principles that you young people have to understand. I was just talking just this week about how young people need to understand certain principles of, you know, every young child. Seems like to me that we're living in a society that is so busy that we're cutting corners on principles. And parents don't have time to instill principles in their children. And but if if you don't get a principle, just like there's a principle in understanding how to respond to authority, why it's important to obey. That's after faith comes the altar where God makes you obey Him and repent. You have to make a public profession and be baptized, go through a baptism, an obedience unto baptism. That's part of God's plan. It's simple, but it's part of His plan that I want you to have faith in me. Now I want you to humble yourself. And there's a great principle in humility. That's the next step. You're not going up unless you can get humble. The greatest key to get going up, being successful in life, is humility. You'll never get far in life without humility. And the very first step to humility is learning obedience. Just obeying, taking instruction and obeying it. And then, and knowing how to honor those that are in authority. I never will forget when I went to work for Jimmy Matthews at Matthews Super Red in Deer Park, Texas, when I was 11 years old, I started begging him for a job. And he said, I can't hire you till you're 12. So I just stayed after him. Finally, he got sick of me coming in there. I went in there and asked that man 1,000 times for a job. He started seeing me coming, he'd turn the other way. And Jim Matthews, it was one of those little grocery stores back in those days. They had a meat market counter. They cut their own meat up. And, little grocery store. And I never will forget him. He had a great big belly. And he always had on one of those white aprons around his neck and tied. And his belly came way out. And he had his belt way up here around the big part of his belly. And he walked like that all the time. Walked around looking at things. I never will forget him. I always wondered, why don't you get you some breeches that fits around your waist and get that big belly, that belt off your belly. It used to bother me. I wanted to, if anybody ever gave it a tug, his breeches would fall around his ankle. But anyway, I guess y'all got a visual on that. But when I went to work for him, he was rough. He'd walk in there and he'd walk up, Mick, get that mop bucket, get the mop in this floor. It looks pitiful around here. Well, I wasn't hired in to be a mop, to mop things. I was going to be a grocery man, I wasn't. But I remember when he told me that, I never even hesitated. I just went and got the mop and filled it up with water and put some soap in there and went to mopping the floor. I didn't much know exactly how he wanted it done, but I got after it. And there was times, that he'd get on to me, rough. He'd say something to me, like, you can't do that like that or something, and he'd tell me how to do it. Anyway, he'd make me go back and do things over, and I'd just say yes, sir, and no, sir, and I'd do just whatever he told me. But I realized later in life, and you know what? I worked for Jimmy Matthews all through school. Matter of fact, I was working for him 32 to 36 hours a week all through high school. I worked after school. When school was out, I worked full time in the summer. I got to where in my junior and senior year I closed 11 o'clock. I worked 11 o'clock and go to school the next morning. He got to where he trusted me. But I realized early on that the way I was succeeding with him was that I knew how to work. I owed that to my dad. When a boss told me what to do, I just did it. Because when my daddy told me what to do, I knew to do it. And because he instilled obedience in me. Dad wouldn't put up with disobedience. And he was strict about it, consistent. takes that in parents to be consistent, for children to be obedient. And that obedience, and then knowing who's in authority. You know, when my other kids my age tried to tell me what to do, I knew I didn't have to obey that altogether, not unless they had some adult told them to do it in front of me, and I knew they had the authority to do it. But you know, like when I started in the military, we started out in a platoon, and the first thing they do is make a platoon leader, and that guy you got to obey. He's just like you. He's just a private in the army that don't know about nothing no more than you do. But somehow or another, somebody discerned that he would be a good leader, and they gave him the position of being the platoon leader. And I can just tell you right now, if you didn't please your platoon leader, you was in trouble in the military forever moving forward. You know, if you decided you wanted to rebel, I started right off the very first in the military, I started out rebelling, and I knew better. But the part was is that they were trying to make me do something that I knew they didn't have authority to make me do it. But I didn't realize why they was doing it. You know, they'd start out right off, you know, when you're in the army, they took us up there in what they called a deuce and a half truck that had canvas over it. They drove up on the hill. This was in Fort Bliss, El Paso, Texas, in May, and I stayed there till the middle of June, where it was 120 in the shade. And we done force marches in the sand. You know, they'd walk in the streets and make you walk in the sand, where it'd be ankle deep. But they started us off when we got off them deuce and a half trucks. I mean, it was nice to us when we was down there below the hill, but when they took us up there, it up on the hill where the trainee, where you was trained in boot camp. Brother, when I got off that deuce and a half truck, them guys had sticks, you know, just like these cops have got. They started hollering and beating them sticks on the trucks and hollering, "Get out of that truck! Get out here and fall in!" They were screaming and hollering. I was thinking, my Lord, what's going on? We in a war or something going on? You know. And then they finally got us lined up, and they'd start right down. You know, a drill sergeant would be here, and there would be a captain or a lieutenant would come along behind him, and they'd walk right up to you, and they'd say, "Where are you from, soldier?" "I'm from Deer Park, Texas." "Deer Park, Texas? So that's a little old squindly little town, isn't it?" "Yes, sir." "Well, I'm from Deer Park, Texas. You telling me that I come from a little old squiggly town?" "No, sir." He said, "I'm not a sir. Look at the stripes on my shoulder. Don't you know that I'm a sergeant?" "You say yes, drill sergeant, when you talk to me." "Yes, drill sergeant." Well, then the next guy would come up there and say, "How much do you weigh, young man?" "Well, I weigh 142 pounds. Said, "You're underweight, aren't you?" "Yes, drill sergeant." "Drill sergeant, can't you see the bars on my shoulder? I'm a captain. You say sir when you talk to an officer in the military. Do you understand? Get down and pump out 20 push-ups for me right now." Guy walked up to him, "What do you got in your mouth?" "Gum." "Give it to me." "What?" "Give it to me." I handed it to him. He took it and shoved it up my nose. I stood there like that. Brother, their whole purpose is to break your spirit and humble you down. They want you humbled. I pumped out more push-ups. They had me in a mud puddle. Said, "Stand there, like put your hands flat down on the..." "Anthony, stand up there. Now, bend over and put your hands flat down on the floor and keep your legs straight." Now, see, he's probably limbering. "Get your hands down on the floor, boy." Well, they got me down with my hands down, and they said, "Now say, I'm a dying dead cockroach." I stayed bent over down there with my hands down. "I'm a dying." He said, "Say it 100 times.
and just walk off and leave you. And there was guys saying, I'm a darn dead cocker. Had guys over here laying on their back with all four sticking up, saying, help me, mama. I mean, and it looked like a circus going on the first day. I mean, they were just doing all kinds of things. They had me low crawling in gravel. I tore up my fatigues the first day I got there. Tore holes in the knees of them. When they got done with me, I thought, I wrote my mama a letter. I said, I'll never get out of here alive. I said, they're going to kill every one of us. I said, they don't have to worry about me fighting a war. I'll die before I get out of boot camp. Did you ever think that, Brother Dan? Yeah. As a matter of fact, they come got a few boys out of our brigade, and them boys in them little white suits come got them. I mean, they drove a couple boys crazy. They're hollering, screaming, mama, mama, mama. Where's my mama? I want my mama. Oh, God. Well, what? Well, I've had a chance to talk to a few boys going to boot camp since then, and I've told them, when you get there, just do whatever they tell you to do. Just smile. Say, yes, sir. Try to figure, if they got stripes on their shoulder, say, yes, drill sergeant. If they got bars on their shoulder, say, yes, sir, no, sir. It took me a little while to figure it all out and realize the way to get along in here is do what they tell you to do.